Coming up on this episode of Inside Pop,
we are talking Cardi B's new album, plus her SNL appearance, you know what I'm saying, and a little announcement that she had.
Plus, we discuss A Quiet Place, the new Broadway play, Children of a Lesser God, and Pink's latest tour.
All of that and, but of course, the big sell. It's all happening right now on Inside Pop.
Hey, y'all. I'm Amita Patel.
And I am Sean David Johnson, and this is Inside Pop. We are your weekly dive inside of the world of pop culture. And this week, we have lots of pop culture to talk about. We've got television, we've got film, and we've got music. So it's a perfect trifecta of pop culture. We love weeks like this. Let's get right into it, shall we, and talk about a big, quiet movie.
Yeah, it's the movie that everybody is talking about. A Quiet Place debuted this weekend at the box office, and it did not go quietly at the box office. It crushed it with $50 million this weekend. That's a huge number for a horror film. And for first time, you know, writer-director John Krasinski, he directed this film. He stars in this film. He co-wrote it. His wife, Emily Blunt, is in it. It, you know, could have been something that may not have worked out, but we both saw it separately this weekend, and I'm really glad that we did, because I think I might have clawed some fingernails into you if I had seen it with you. This movie is so intense, so scary, jump-worthy film. Like, I jumped many times. How about you?
Yeah, there's nothing better than a really, a truly frightening, suspenseful horror film, and this film was that across the board. And, you know, I think in most horror films, you're sitting there saying to yourself, oh my God, I'm being manipulated right now. Why am I so afraid? It's only a movie, but you are. And I think it's a sign of a good director. And I think John Krasinski, who I think this is definitely his first film. I know he's directed episodes of The Office before. I'm not sure how much else he's directed.
He did one smaller film before this. I think it was not a horror film, though. So it's his first horror film. And, you know, that's an undertaking. Like, it is a different genre. It is, this is a very unique film because there is very little dialogue.
Yeah.
Right? It is all about the atmosphere. It is all about that building, that tension. You know, I think I read a Hollywood Reporter article that says this film has less than 3 minutes of dialogue.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Right? That leaves a lot of time to really build the scenery. And again, it's called A Quiet Place. The sound in this film is of the utmost importance, or the lack of sound. And I've said it as soon as we got out of the theater, I was like, Oscar nominations and potentially awards for just the sound editing and audio sound mixing on this film, because every single moment to make you jump, but every single moment of silence, just it makes the film. It really does.
Yeah. And I think you're, as an audience member, you're more aware of sound than you have been in any other movie you've seen, possibly. And that's saying a lot, because I'm assuming that our listeners have seen hundreds and hundreds of movies. If you're a pop culture fan, you probably have. But think about it. You are more aware of sound and noises than in any other film. And I think it's the fantastic experience of having something taken away from you and then just given to you in small doses. So when someone's running through a cornfield, just every crunch of the corn stalks is resonant and powerful. And
right,
every footstep that falls on a path of sand, you can hear. So it was a really interesting kind of meditation on sound and lack of sound and noise. And it's funny, we complained I started the complaining in our last episode about misbehaving moviegoers and how people kind of talk and open up their cell phones and munch on popcorn during films. I will say that in my movie screening, for the most part, people were, and I think it's intentional on the filmmaker's point of view, people were quiet and attentive. I think the quiet of the movie coaxed people into actually keeping their damn mouths shut. And that was
good. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I think it's just, you kind of have to just get on board with this, you know, this future period of time where, you know, it's any sound could jeopardize your life. You know, I don't want to spoil anything in the film. Obviously, we're trying to be spoiler free because it is the first weekend it came out and all of you still may have not seen it. Please see it, because I think it's an amazing experience. I think it's an even more incredible experience in a theater with good sound, because every bit of sound had to have been crafted so amazingly in the edit, for sure.
Well, it did make me think, and actually shout out to Esta Fiesta, host of Poison Polished, because earlier this week she tweeted out that in order to get psyched for A Quiet Place, she was recommending that people watched the seminal Buffy the Vampire Slayer episode, Hush, which is, out of the 44 minutes of that episode, I think 30 minutes were completely silent, which for TV is extraordinary. And, you know, it does something very similar to what A Quiet Place does, and it's also terrifying. But I think there are a lot of, or maybe not a lot, but it's interesting. There are, I think, a number, I'll say not a number, a few powerful examples of film or television commenting and portraying a world in which people either can't hear or can't make noise. So obviously A Quiet Place is the most powerful recent version. And I would say Buffy's Hush, another thing that people should check out if they haven't seen it. And Amita, you saw a play on Broadway which did this a couple of decades ago.
I went to see Children of a Lesser God, the revival of the play, starring Joshua Jackson and Lauren Ridloff. And it's an incredible production, because Children of a Lesser God is the story of a teacher at a school for the deaf and a student that he meets there, played by Lauren Ridloff. Lauren Ridloff is actually deaf in real life. Most of this play is Joshua Jackson interpreting sign language and also performing sign language, you know, very well. And he's on stage almost the entire time. And it's such an interesting commentary on communication. And I felt that in The Quiet Place as well. It's how we communicate to each other and how it's so important and hard to communicate emotion sometimes with sign language. But also this interesting world of speaking and emotion and having to cross that divide. It was so emotional, this play. I highly recommend it if anybody is in New York and can get a ticket. They're not that expensive on some of the TKTS or Today Ticks apps. It's truly, truly an incredible performance by both Joshua Jackson and Lauren Ridloff. Anthony Edwards from ER has a small role in it. There are a couple other hearing impaired actors in it. They really tried to stay true to the characters and how they were written. And I do feel like there's so many emotions in this play, laughter and love and anger and frustration. It really makes you think, and I highly recommend it.
Yeah, I definitely want to check it out. I like to try to see, listen, Broadway's expensive, but I try to see at least a couple of plays and or musicals over the course of the year. So that's Children of a Lesser God is high on my list. I remember the film starring William Hurt and Marlee Matlin, and I loved that many, many years ago. So yeah, that's high on my list. And I do think of, you mentioned the woman who stars in this play is hearing impaired, as was Marlee Matlin when she performed in the film.
Yeah.
And I just want to give a quick shout out to the young girl who performs in A Quiet Place. She plays the deaf daughter of John Krasinski and Emily Blunt. And she was also in Wonderstruck, which is a film that I saw last fall.
Mm-hmm. And so was Lauren Ridloff, actually.
Oh, okay, cool. And I remember I went to when I was at the Q&A, you know, they said, oh, you know what? We wish you were here for the Q&A, but the good news is she's actually making another film right now. And I realized that that other film is probably A Quiet Place. So
yeah,
she's busy making what's going to be the number one film of the first or second weekend of April. So yeah, she's doing that. So yeah, it's great. It's because honestly, it's rare that there are hearing impaired actors who get to be in major Broadway productions, major film or TV productions. So when they do get that opportunity and then they get a chance to shine, it's an amazing thing.
Yeah. Oh, another reason to watch this incredible play on Broadway is the director, Kenny Leon. He's a Tony Award winning director. He's behind, you know, A Raisin in the Sun, starring Denzel Washington, and Stickfly and Fences. And he also directed Hairspray Live and The Wiz Live on TV. So his direction in this play was incredible. So it's just worth watching. If you're in New York, definitely go check it out.
Well, I will definitely make a point to check it out, Amita. Thank you for that recommendation. And for those of you who haven't seen A Quiet Place yet, I say try to get to that theater shortly, soonly, because there are twists and turns, and I think you definitely want to try to enjoy this film without too much. Well, the expectation is already there, but just see it soon. It's worth it. Listen, I'm not the first person to say this, but I think what Get Out was for horror in 2017, A Quiet Place is for horror in 2018, in that it is the genre. It is a horror film. It doesn't try to be anything else, but within that genre, it does amazing things. So see it.
Mm-hmm. We were all saying that after we finished this film too. We're like, wow, this is like Get Out last year. This time last year, everybody was talking about Get Out. And I feel now everybody's going to be talking about Quiet Place this year.
Like us, we're talking about it. and also we're also going to be talking about Cardi B, her new album, her SNL appearance, and we're also going to be talking about last week's Big Sell. But before we get to that, Amita, should we talk about the Max Fun Drive?
We should. If you don't know, now you know. We are in the midst of the Max Fun Drive. This is a drive that is near and dear to us because it means anybody who supports all the podcasts on the Maximum Fun Network has the opportunity to be a member or upgrade their membership and donate to this wonderful network of podcasts.
And listen, I think that we've all experienced that time where we're watching a PBS channel and you click on it and you're like, oh shit, it's the fun drive. Let me turn away. Before you turn away, let me say that A, we're going to wrap this up shortly. But B, this is a little different because Maximum Fun is a network and it really brings together an incredibly diverse array of podcast hosts and podcasts. And in really different ways, we're all helped and supported by Max Fun. So obviously, if you're listening to this podcast, you like diverse perspectives on certain topics. And hopefully you listen to other Maximum Fun podcasts and you know that whether it's about pop culture or science or pets or music or politics, Maximum Fun definitely brings you really interesting and diverse thoughts and opinions. And none of these thoughts and opinions would get to you without you, right? Maximum Fun does not exist without listener support. We don't run ads. We don't take corporate donations. There are no lobbyists donating to Maximum Fun Network. It's all listener supported, and that's the really cool thing. And that's why I'm happy to be on Maximum Fun.
Yeah, me too. And it's super easy, guys. You just go to MaximumFun.org/donate and you choose how much you want to give. It's not sitting there saying you have to give a certain amount, but you can give $5. You can give, you know, and if you feel like that's all you can do, $5 a month, go for it. And if you want to do a little bit more, all the better. There's tiers 10, 20, 35, up to, you know, $100, $200. And the best part is you're donating to support all of these podcasts, but then you also get some gifts. So you, whatever level you're donating, you're going to get some gifts. How about we talk about those gifts at our next break, but do what you can. Please support us and support all of these great podcasts on Maximum Fun this week as part of the Max Fun Drive.
And when it comes down to it, you're supporting yourself. We'll get into that later as well. But right now, let's get back into the show. Okay.
Are you living your best life?
All right. All of those bad impressions are the result of our fascination and America's fascination with Miss Cardi B. She has taken over. She has basically ruled everyone's life since, was it last summer when Bodak Yellow came out? And then I think as soon as that single hit and started to grow and grow and grow and really take over the world, everyone started talking about, well, when is the album coming out? Is she more than a one-hit wonder? And she's just released a number of singles, and each one is bigger than the next. And it wasn't about, is she a one-hit wonder? It's about how big of a star will she become? And I think she answered that question when this past Friday she released her new album. Here with her review is Amita Patel. Amita, what did you think? You've listened to it 3 times. You told me that offline. What do you think of her new album?
I mean, Cardi B makes money moves. That's what's happening right now. Like, this weekend needs to be called Cardi B's weekend. The album as a whole is really good. I am surprised. You know, I liked her singles. She was breaking records left and right with Bodak Yellow. And then every little single after that, she made history. She became the first woman to have 5 singles in the top 10 of the R&B chart earlier this year. It's absolutely incredible what she's accomplished by being featured on Bruno Mars' single and, you know, also putting out her own tracks month after month after month, building to this album, Invasion of Privacy. And there's some incredible guests on here, Chance the Rapper, SZA, Kalani. I can't be mad at Cardi B. I'm really enjoying all of it.
Yeah, I honestly, real talk. I was expecting an album that contained 3 more great singles, and then I was not going to be surprised if there was some filler on the album. But I give her and her whole team credit, because it's not an album filled with fillers. I think there's so many great songs on there from the jump. And I'm going to say my favorite song, and it's probably because I love Chance the Rapper so much, but I do really love her song with Chance the Rapper, which is great.
Me too. Yeah. Best life. I'm living my best life.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of a time when a first album had so much expectation. I feel like that's the world we're living in now, where it's like you don't just debut and it's like, oh, wait, I'm discovering this person. No. You have an amazing single like Bodak Yellow, and then almost a year later, you release your album.
Yeah.
Well, I know there are some probably great examples in pop culture where we had to wait for someone's first album. I can't. I think in hip hop, there are probably some good examples of that.
Yeah, there are. I can't think of anything again, like off the top either. But I just, you know, it's like kudos to her. Kudos to the hustle. Kudos to obviously surrounding herself with incredible artists, incredible producers. And obviously the A&R team behind this is pushing her left and right, and it's working. And she topped it off with a great SNL performance. She was great. Both of those performances were really energetic, really good. She sounded great. And she made a nice little low-key we all expected this announcement, but low-key, oh, I'm preggers too, with her second SNL performance, which everybody was rumoring about her being pregnant for the last couple months. And she didn't like make a huge deal, which in Cardi's personality, she could. But she, you know, it was like this cool performance where you only saw her from the chest up. And then halfway through the song, they pulled out and you could see her belly. And she put a cute little Instagram out saying she's finally free because she was hiding it for so long.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's her time is now. And I remember just a couple of weeks ago, I have a friend at work who said to me, I'm actually concerned about Cardi B because she kept posting about how she was so stressed out about getting the album out and how it was tiring and how it was 3 a.m. and she was in the studio. And I wonder how much of that was calculated and produced and created to just continue the, creating the amazing myth and brand of Cardi B. So I think her loyal fans are happy to see that she is both healthy and the album's out and she's living to promote it. So
yeah, if there's anybody living her best life, it's her. She's engaged to Offset. She's now expecting his child. And I'm interested to see what's going to happen with her touring with Bruno Mars now that babies are coming. But hopefully she'll get back on the tour eventually after she gives birth and we'll be able to enjoy more Cardi B.
And listen, I think that right now I'm speaking to the haters. And the reason why I'm speaking to the haters is because Cardi B spends a lot of time on her album speaking to the haters. Cardi, if I can give you just three pieces of advice, stop worrying about the haters. Number one. Number two, we get it. You had your teeth fixed. No need to rap about that anymore. You rapped about that a lot on the album. So thank you. Good for you. No need to talk to us about that anymore. Number three, do you, which I know counters one and two, but I never said it would be easy.
Yeah.
What I will say is that I think that for the haters, Cardi B is not like, I think for the people who are like, does she do her own lyrics? Is she really talented? Why is she so huge? Does she deserve this? I am going to say that Cardi B is the latest person in a lineage of amazing pop stars who may not be the most talented in one thing. And I'll take us back through time. Madonna, right? Like maybe like the biggest pop star in the world for a great length of time. And she admitted it herself, wasn't the greatest singer or dancer, but her ambition, her drive made her a great pop star. And I could, you know, go back throughout time and mention other people as well. Cher, others. I'm nervous to mention some people because I feel like I'm going to get attacked, but you get what I'm saying. So I think Cardi B is the latest in that lineage of amazing pop stars who have talent, times, ambition, drive, chutzpah, and that is the sign of a great pop star. So I'm here for Cardi, and I hope she just continues to grow and grow and grow and grow.
Listen, you knock her down 9 times and she gets up 10.
Well quoted.
Yeah, I'm here for Cardi too.
Thumbs up. Thumbs up to the album and the SNL performance. And we're here for all future. I'm not going to go see her live. I'm not paying to see Cardi B perform live. But I support her from afar.
Listen, it's on my list of concerts this year to finally see Bruno Mars. So I will see her.
Oh, yeah.
If she's still on the tour with him come October when Bruno's around.
He's been touring for a year.
Yeah, no, he extended. He was in the U.S. last summer, fall, and then went overseas. And now he decided to extend, obviously, with all the popularity, Grammys and then Finesse. So he extended and came back to the U.S. until he'll be back later this year. Great segue, though. Speaking of tours, I, on a whim, my pop culture whim life that I love to live sometimes, I ended up seeing Pink on her Beautiful Trauma tour this past week. And what a ride. I am a fan of Pink. And my friends and I just did a last minute head to the box office at Madison Square Garden and see what tickets they had. And we hit the ticket lottery and got affordable seats on the floor, six rows from the stage, I could almost touch Pink. Like I saw all of her makeup and all of her outfits really well. Like, she was incredible. And yes, you know, one of the things when you see Pink is all of the acrobatics and the aerial stunts she does. And they are amazing. Like, that is worth the price of admission, along with the fun you have at a Pink concert.
Well, congratulations. We should all see our favorite artists perform live. And when they're as death-defying and gravity-defying as Pink, more so.
Oh, my gosh. Seriously, she's still on tour for another couple months in the U.S. If she's in a city near you, go try to see her. The tickets are expensive, but maybe you could try our strategy. Go to the box office. I mean, we got these tickets an hour before the show started and got a really great deal. Sometimes there's some last minute luck when you go to the box office. I highly recommend it. It worked for us.
So you can take your money and go see your favorite artist if it's Pink, or you could think about something else you want to do with your money.
What are you making money moves with?
Well, you could think about what you're listening to right now. This delightful podcast brought to you by the Maximum Fun Podcast Network. And you could think, well, listen, they're in the midst of their Max Fun Drive. They're begging me, hectoring me to support them and donate money. Let me listen a little bit more to see why I should actually do that. And then maybe I will take some of my hard-earned cash and donate. So listen, this happens once a year. After this episode, you won't hear us begging for money until 2019, which is the future, right? So so here's the good news. We can say that on the day that our podcast comes out, which is Wednesday, we are more than halfway to reaching our goal of 25,000 new or renewed increased memberships. So we are on the way. If you go to the MaximumFun.org website, you can see a little counter to see how close we are to our goal. Hopefully by the time you listen to this episode, we've surpassed it. But the only way we're going to do that is if you, at this moment, put us on pause, go to the website, and actually donate to become a monthly member.
Yes, we allow you to pause us just this one time so you can go and donate to Maximum Fun Podcast Network. It's MaximumFun.org/donate, or just go to MaximumFun.org. It's right on the homepage. And there's some pretty cool gifts if you donate. You can get a bonus episode from us or from any podcast if you just do $5 a month. Guys, we have merch. I'm really excited about it. There's a big sell pin.
What does the pin say?
It says, it's time for the big sell.
Now, listen, I thought about this over the weekend. I'm going to suggest a couple of places where you can use this pin.
Oh, please, please.
It's time for the big sell. I think that if you go on a first date and you put your it's time for the big sell pin on, and I'm talking to the fellas out there right now, you put your it's time for the big sell pin on your lapel, maybe you're just giving some innuendo to the person sitting across from you. It's time for the big sell. Maybe you go to a job interview and you wear your it's time for the big sell pin, and you're letting that interviewer know that you're the one. You're big selling yourself. But listen, if you love other podcasts on the network as well as ours, there are other pins to get. Heat Rocks, Greatest Gen, Friendly Fire, Bullseye, all of those great podcasts. Just for that small amount per month. Want to up your membership to what, $20 a month? Then I think there's a cookbook involved, a cookbook curated by Max Fun hosts.
Mm-hmm. There's a juice carafe. There's, you know, great merch at every level. And a bonus, if you decide to really, you know, be a baller about it and give, you know, $35 to get the juice carafe, you'll still get the cookbook and you'll get a pin of your choice. You get everything leading up to that number. You're not just getting the one thing. So the more you donate, the more you get.
So I'm just going to say this. Will a pin change your life? Possibly. Maybe. It might change mine. So yeah, a pin is going to, it's a nice little bonus. Ditto the carafe. Those are all nice appreciations for the donation of money. But when it comes down to it, I think that most people who donate to MaximumFun.org/donate are doing it because they appreciate the effort and the talent and the time and the sacrifice that most of these podcasts are doling out. So if you want to say thank you, if you want to appreciate, if you want to help support and promote the hard work of people who are bringing you entertainment and information, this is the time to do it. This drive is finished on Friday. Done. It's over. So this really is your last chance. You probably have, 48 hours, maybe 24 hours to just make that move to donate and support. I think you do get the opportunity to mention us if you are a big fan of ours. I think that's something that you don't have to do, but you could do if you like. I know, Amita, that I've been so inspired by what so many people are saying online about why they're donating to MaximumFun.org that I, even though I'm a host, I could get my little grubby paws on and it's time for the big sell pin. But guess what? I am donating myself for this cause.
Oh, yes. So am I. Yeah, I was just going to do it right now while I'm recording this podcast. That's how easy and fast you could do it, guys. Do it right now. Go to MaximumFun.org/donate right now.
Okay, so our begging, pleading, and hectoring is over. And like the pin says, now it's time for the big sell.
And how would you describe the big sell, Sean?
I would describe the big sell the way I would describe the MaximumFun.org/donate drive. It's a time where people can say to you, hey, there's something that you need to check out. In the case of the MaximumFun.org/donate drive, it would be, why don't you check out what it feels like to support a podcast network that brings you week after week amazing entertainment? And then you donate, and then you see how you feel, and then maybe you tell friends about it. That's kind of what the big sell's like, except it's free.
Yeah, I like it.
It's also about when Amita and I recommend things from pop culture to the other and then share it the next week.
I mean, that's the basic explanation for it. Your extremely descriptive, creative descriptions are what I'm here for. So last week on the Big Sell, I sold you episode one of the docuseries One Strange Rock, which is executive produced by Darren Aronofsky and featuring Instagram, YouTube celeb, but also rapper and actor Will Smith.
Also at one time the biggest actor in the world,
yes.
Will Smith.
But right now he's killing it on Instagram and YouTube, people. Yes. He really is.
He really is. It's a renaissance. Social media 2018, you're killing me. But yes, you it's a Will Smithissance because
Ooh.
Of you. Yes. Well, it's fascinating to me. Will Smith, one of our great stars and one of our very good actors, he's really had a roller coaster of a career, right? One of the most beloved sitcoms of the 80s and 90s, right? Fresh Prince.
Mm-hmm.
And then amazing film career, amazing, unprecedented film career, especially for an African-American actor. And then, you know, recently he's not had the best luck with choices and roles. But then, yeah, boom, he's regained popularity on Instagram and our love. And now on this show that I'd never heard about until you had big sold it to me. I loved it. As I've discussed before, I love nature porn, right? Just like, give me beautiful, like wide angle slow-mo shots of nature and I'm in. And also, I think there's something about Will Smith that is incredibly earnest, so much so that you might wonder, is it a put-on?
Mm-hmm.
Or is that really him?
Mm-hmm.
And I think he and I thought about that while watching this episode, but I think what it comes down to for me is, even if he is putting it on a bit, he's working so hard at it that it makes you just want to believe that he believes it. I don't know if that makes sense, but So I enjoyed it. I think he's so excited and earnest about all of the information, and the shots are so beautiful that it's just a pleasure. And I recommend that everyone watches it.
Yeah, and it's an education, right? I mean, it's so incredible to learn about oxygen and the atmosphere and how everything is so connected and different areas of the earth. Like, there's this area in Ethiopia where, like, you can't, you know, touch the ground because it's like acid. Who knew? You know, I think it's a really incredible look at some places all around our globe that we may not have seen before. And you can see it in a very beautiful way via One Strange Rock.
The fact that it's Will Smith, 3 stars easily. The fact that it's about our planet, I'm going to add 0.75 stars to give it a total of 3.75 stars.
What? Wow.
Otherwise known as 3¾ stars.
Thank you, Ed McMahon. Oh, I'm really glad you enjoyed it. I didn't know how much you were into nature porn, and I'm just saying that so we could just say nature porn again. But I'm really glad that you enjoyed it, and I hope I'm looking forward to seeing the next few episodes. I think it's just a limited series right now, so let us know if you guys are watching One Strange Rock and what you guys think of it as well. But first, what do you have to sell to me this week, Sean David Johnson?
My big sell this week comes to you from fellow podcast buddies, JojCast.
Oh, yeah.
So they're really, when it comes down to it, I have a few podcasts I listen to specifically to just keep myself up on music. Let's name them. Heat Rocks, a Maximum Fun podcast. I love this podcast so much. The hosts are so knowledgeable and eloquent and passionate about music. They're amazing. Check them out. Heat Rocks. I also love Song Exploder. Not Maximum Fun, but I'm going to be objective. And then if I was going to name a third podcast, I'm putting JojCast right up there. I think they have the most amazing musical taste, kind of similar to mine. But then they know more than I do, and they've heard of bands that I've never even dreamt could possibly exist. All that to say that the two hosts of JojCast, Jay Taylor and Joe Bowden, have
good impression.
I didn't do
good
that
impression.
On purpose. I know. Sorry, Jay. That was meant to be an homage. So they've each released their favorite songs of 2018 so far. So I was all up in those playlists listening over the weekend, and so many different songs I could big sell to you. But the song that really drew me immediately is a duet by Karen O from the Yeah Yeah Yeahs. I think it's her song, and it features a gentleman that we may have heard of, spoken about a few times, Michael Kiwanuka, who sings this theme song for Big Little Lies and also has this amazing song called Black Man in a White World. Mm. I saw him at Afropunk.
Yeah, he was incredible.
Yeah, so they have a song on Joe Bowden's playlist, and it's called Yo, My Saint. So I'm big selling that song to you. In addition, there's a film that it's a part of. It's about 9 minutes long. So please do this for me, Amita. Listen to the song first, and then journey over to YouTube. I will provide the link, and then you will be able to see the film, the short film that this song is a part of.
Oh,
I'm ending
wow.
with a preposition, so you get it, though. So that's happening.
I love it. I love the two-part big sell here, and I think Michael Kiwanuka has an incredible voice and style, so I'm really, really looking forward to hearing this duet. Thank you for that big sell.
You are welcome. Can't wait to hear what you think about it next week. And speaking of next week, we've got a new show.
Yes, we do.
And we're going to have more of the best in TV and film and music coming up. Spring, as we promised in our previous episode, is full of amazing, amazing offerings. And so we're going to keep you up to date on all those incredible things.
You know what else is a great spring offering, Sean Johnson?
What?
You. Someone is having a birthday.
Which means that I'm taking the week off. So everyone, please enjoy Amita speaking to herself for 40 minutes.
No, that's going to be No, we can't do that. Nobody wants me to hear me talk to myself for 40 minutes. And we have to celebrate.
Sure, fine. Little old me? I guess so. Okay, yeah. So I'm in Aries, which means that I'm so down with celebrating myself. How will I celebrate myself next week on the podcast? Stay tuned. You'll find out. But in addition to me celebrating myself and Amita putting up with that, we'll also have a lot of pop culture news that has nothing to do with me.
Oh, it's all happening and it's all going to do with you.
Okay, good.
I knew you'd love it. All right. Well, until then, please send over your birthday wishes to Sean, but also stay in touch with us. Tell us about your thoughts on A Quiet Place, and if you've seen Pink on tour, and if you've listened to Cardi B's record. Give it all to us over Twitter at Pop Insiders. Follow us on Instagram at Pop Insiders. Go to Facebook, leave us some comments, like us, and go to InsidePopPodcast.com to subscribe.
And until we see each other next week, I want everyone to have an amazing week listening to, watching, and experiencing pop culture just like us.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.